All right, so here we are. We are at Lawyer Talk. What time is it? 5 in the freaking
What time
morning.
Is it today?
No, it's like 6:14. 6:14. Hold on a second. Lawyer Talk off the record. We got a new guy here.
New guy.
We have a special guest.
I'm so excited I can't even introduce the show.
I know.
It's Lawyer Talk off the record, but on the air. And on the air with this guy, so he's a friend. He's a cook.
There is zero chance this is going to be his only time on this podcast.
Well, I'm here, and that's how it started. They said, let's put up the mics. Let's just talk. Because I was leaving the house, talking to Shorty, my wife. And I said, what hat should I put on? She says, well, who's going?
Now, she's not talking about who's going to be here.
Yeah. No, she's talking to me.
Yeah. Like, we're not talking about hats.
Which one of you are going? Who is going? And so on the drive here, I'm like this. I'm watching the sunrise, and I'm thinking, well, it's about to rise. And I was like, there's a lot of things about morning when mornings go on and as your life rolls, the differences in mornings. I remember days where I wanted to get home before the sun rose so I didn't feel like I was out all night.
Right,
I go to bed before the sun comes up, I'm good. I got home last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Then there's mornings that it's like, I've got to get so many pounds of beef and turkey and ribs on the smoker.
All right, now you're talking about
language. Now I got to get that going. It's like, if I see the sun coming up, it's like I might be like 10 minutes late.
So you're judging when you have to start smoking the meat by the sun. I like that. Yeah. It's sort of like a sundial.
We have to do a formal introduction.
All right, so let's back up. All right, we are, in fact, Lawyer Talk off the record, but on the air. This is the podcast that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, it's all the rage.
And the reason is because we have guys like this man right here, Jared Blinsky, here as a guest. And we've been friends for a long time. You got, like you said, you're a lot of guys.
I'm a lot of guys.
You got a lot of stuff.
Which guy was showing up today?
And, you know, we can talk about some cooking. We can talk about some vaping. We can talk about all sorts of good stuff. But you were talking about, I mean, are we allowed to talk about barbecue?
Well, I mean,
you're a Johnstown guy.
Ugh. I suppose we can talk about barbecue. I didn't know we were going. Ah, darn, really? I went on that route. Barbecue route?
Well, it's the Route 62
we'll just see where
barbecue.
It goes.
Route 62 barbecue.
All right, so there's been some news on this, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But let's talk about, well, first of all, let's just clear the air.
Oh, boy. All right, clear the air.
You're not an owner any longer.
No, I have sold officially my 50% of Route 62 barbecue in May of 2012.
So since 2012,
I've had no further contact with the barbecue nor the sole owner of Route 62 Barbecue.
So you are not the guy that's been in the news.
I'm not there. I'm not in the news. Not today. I've been in the news with the barbecue before. That might be another day. That might be another hat.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's another hat. That's one. Is that a flat bill hat or is that the curved sort of beat up Clippers hat?
I should have put a hat on.
Now, did you ever go back and try the barbecue after you?
You
left?
Know, here's the thing on it. I wrote the recipes. It was an absolute enjoyment and experience to build it, to run with it. And I will go to cookouts or I will go to a graduation party. And if I look on the table and there it is, you know, there. It's going to be at like a lot of these events that I would go to. And I'm always, we get a plate of it. Sometimes they're like, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. Actually, you know, I want to see if they're keeping the recipes. If they stick to the recipes, it's all there.
I introduced a bunch of people to him, and I remember, months after, years after you left, them still ordering that stuff. And I'd be like, is that the same? And they'd be like, it's still good. And I'm like, Jared left, man. And after that, I think after they hear Jared's gone, because I was promoting you, you know what I mean? They're like, I'm not going to really do it anymore.
So Jared Blinsky, one of the founding. And look, I'm just going to say it like it is. You were the guy that made that place good, the 62
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate it.
Because, I've eaten it before, during, and after, and it ain't the same.
It's the best barbecue I've had when he was there.
But you didn't even go to chef school or anything, did you?
No, I didn't.
Every dude in their backyard loves to go smoke some meat, but you took it to a whole different level.
Well, I lucked out. I was born in southern Missouri. Right outside of Branson.
Yeah.
Living in the Ozarks. My family's all from North Dakota. And down there, I would see these little places that were barbecues that I loved. So when I moved to Ohio in 1989, I got a job at the Lakes Country Club.
The Lakes?
The Lakes.
Is that the...
It's over there on 4th and Galena Road. Highland Lakes, that's built around the lakes. Okay, that's 1989. The course wasn't even done.
Yeah.
Ziggy Allspach was a, he's a chef. He just passed away a couple of years ago. He fell in the lake chasing his dog. He was a prime chef. I mean, one of the best around.
He drowned?
He drowned, yeah.
Holy shit.
I went to the showing, and I saw a lot of chefs I hadn't seen in years that were there that all came to be like, this man, he gave a lot. He taught a lot.
Yeah.
And I was washing dishes, and I was doing prep. And he saw something in me and pulled me off. And then Chef Nicky Morse was his sous chef, which was a guy that I ended up following around. In 1992, he took me to Bath, Maine to be a sous chef in a private club. When I came back, he got me on up at New Albany Country Club. Worked the banquets, worked line chef there, was a cook there. Then took food and beverage director's job in 1995, 4 or 5 at Little Turtle.
At the Tiny Turtle, that's a little golf club up there on... There.
Yeah.
And then 2001...
What made you stay around golf courses? You're not a golfer.
No. But I'm...
He's sort of got that Ozarks voice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But it's sort of like this. You got that. There's a little bit of a southern, but not like deep south twang. This is like Midwest south twang.
It is. Because when I moved here, I had a twang. And I lost it in the schools.
It's almost Cajun. Yeah.
That was the food I loved. But then again, see, folks are from North Dakota. I'm born in the Ozarks. My father was a pilot. We traveled around. He's a helicopter pilot.
Now, your dad was cruising out to the drilling platforms.
Right? Gulf of Mexico. That's where we started in the Ozarks. See, went there with the guy he worked for to open Ozark Mountain Helicopters. Everybody said he was crazy. Bud's crazy. He wants to go to the Ozarks. What's he going to do? Well, Branson, Missouri now is not the Branson, Missouri that when they started the helicopter business.
I mean, that's just tourists now.
And that's tourists, and he saw that. And they flew for Sam Walton. He would open a new Walmart. He would hire them to give rounds around the Walmart where they opened new Walmarts. But everywhere we moved, my mother would cook the regional food. She, every time we changed. Now, once we got to Louisiana, and that really influenced my mother's cooking. Now, also, back up on there, my mother didn't eat beef because they're all from the farm. When she was a child, she got a pet cow. Did not realize what was going to happen.
Hammer, right?
So in the end of that, it was always like, here, taste this. Because she cooked for my dad, and she cooked beef, but she didn't eat it. So she needed somebody to taste the food. It needs a little more of this. It needs a little less of that. Yeah. Okay, got it. Boom. And so that was influenced on it. Then working for a Michelin star chef.
Was he Michelin star?
Yes.
Really?
And then working for his sous chef.
I have no idea what the hell.
You explain what a Michelin star is. I don't know a whole lot of how you get them.
A Michelin star started from Michelin, the tire company.
Oh, I didn't realize it started from that.
That's Michelin.
Same name.
Okay. Yeah, they wanted people to drive around to different restaurants. So they had a book, gave a star rating. They wanted you to burn up their tires.
Wow.
So that's where.
What's the other one right now? I see it on the Food Network all the time. They give them out
the
a couple times.
Award.
James Beard Award.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
See,
word
Steve's
that's
just like,
it's
like let's move the hell on. This isn't a
okay,
talk.
But so anyhow, we'll get back. I don't even know where we're going with this.
They're never going nowhere.
But we're going to food. So here's where we can go with it. We can go to. I talked to Steve yesterday. He's like, all right, Jerry, we're gonna do it tomorrow morning. I'll give you a text. And he hits me up. And he's like 6 a.m. I'm like 6 a.m. I don't cook barbecue anymore. No. But anyways, I'm like, all right. So then I'm at work, and I come home, and I'm like this. I didn't have any roux. I didn't have any smoked chicken. I was like, how am I going to make white chicken chili?
Oh.
And Shorty's like this. She's like, Jared. She's like, it's like 9 o'clock at night. You're not going to. You got to be there at 6. I was like, I know. And I'm going to Steve's office without food. I almost feel guilty.
Yeah, you feel a little empty. I feel a little bit hungry. You know what you're talking about.
Oh, I know. Let me tell you a quick story about Jared. This just... shows, sort of highlights the kind of guy you are. When my wife was pregnant with Stella, our first child, my wife loves his white chili, loves it. I mean, it's probably the best chili I've ever had, honestly. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting there. I truly mean that. And so this guy says, hey, when do you want to do it? I mean, literally in a couple days' notice, he comes over with this huge pot of this white chili. We sit down, have a couple beers. I think he had some Beam or something. Just kind of... Cheers and enjoying the food. Shorty came over. It's like those are the kind of moments that you realize you got a friend there, you got a person that cares, and it's awesome to see somebody that has so much love for food and enjoys watching people eat food. And it's like these aren't recipes that can be recreated. I know when I had that chili that day, there's no way I could cook that. I mean, it just had the flavor, it had the love, it had the time, it had the this and that, just like you said.
But you've done it, right? It's like anything else, right? So nobody could come in and do what you do right now. I mean, you can't, like, Jared couldn't just walk into a courtroom and try. It takes years of just doing it. It just takes years.
Maybe.
Cannot.
I mean, Jared's got the voice. He may.
Like, he could be a radio guy, in the courtroom, right? But this only took, like, what, 6 weeks of experience.
Food is a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah.
And that was one great thing about the barbecue, was meeting my neighbors and the people that were around. And it got to where we had our base menu, but I would see customers that would come in daily, and some of them would be waiting in line. I'd stick my head out. I'd be like, you got your mind on something? And they'd shrug their shoulders. I'd just say, sit down. And I had people that would just sit down. They wouldn't ask the price, wouldn't ask what it was. What is the mystery food that's going to come out?
Yeah.
See, that's what the place does. All right, let's give this some context. You started the Route 62 barbecue there in Johnstown, Ohio, with this big backdrop of here, taste this, Cajun that. But how'd you pick barbecue?
It was trendy. It was hot. I had never cooked a brisket before I opened the barbecue.
That is awesome.
And people absolutely love the brisket, bragged about the brisket. Now, I did some test runs, and I tried hard. Well, go back to the private clubs. Yes, you never played golf. That's where the money was at.
Yeah.
Bro, you know, when I worked at New Albany Country Club, I had very good jobs at a young age that I did not understand what I had. They took care of their people. I was very well paid. I had, you know what I mean, and it was very good. I got a percentage of sales at the Turtle when I was there. Plus, I got a salary pay. And, you know, to be in the 20s and make what I was making was great.
Yeah. You're in your, what do you mean, 20s? You're in your, in
when,
your 20s?
When I was in my 20s doing that, gotcha. Yeah. When 9/11 hit, it changed the private club industry overnight.
Yeah.
People went from being members of three clubs to one club,
yeah.
From a full membership to a social membership. Seven Up's not throwing the parties they were there. The buildings aren't going on. People are holding on to their money. Our catering, our banquets dropped down. The owner of the club decided to change a few things, and that's when I was like this. You know, I've been in the club for a long time. I cooked for a long time, and then I had a thing where I wanted to work other avenues of the industry, so I went to the front of the house when I went to Turtle. And after, I guess that was 95 to 2001, I decided I'm done. I'm going to go back to cooking.
Yeah.
Now, I took up private chef work through members of these country clubs. I knew people that, you know, they had more money than time. So I come over to the house on Monday. I prepare, you know, I mean, food for the week. I prefer the soups.
This is like what you did. This is the Eat My Food Every Month club that you were.
Yes.
Or Eat My Food, the home chef thing?
Yeah, whatever they were sending you.
The home delivery stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like doing that.
He was doing it in person.
Well, he was doing it with a Michelin star chef.
Then I got a hot dog cart. Then I'm down here at the Buckeye Games. I got my hot dog cart going. I'm doing burritos.
I got a hunch it's not just doing that. Hot dogs.
It was like real. It was good stuff, right?
Yeah. But no, it wasn't. It was a hot dog cart, but it wasn't hot dogs because everybody was selling hot dogs. So I'm going to sell Phillies. I'm going to sell pulled pork sandwich. You know, I mean, I'm going to sell these jumbo burritos with chicken. I'm ripping off Chipotle's.
Yeah.
This is 2004, 2005. And next thing I know then is that the business is going well and it's building up and people are asking where my restaurant is. And me and my dad built a smoker.
Okay.
And 1969 Saab Axle that we got out of a junkyard.
Bunch of scrap metal. What was it? A 1969
Saab Axle.
Saab has a
Saab
special place.
And we flipped it over so we could drive it down the road and built a big thing. It's this big long smoker. It's got a smoke box on the back. Down in Kentucky, my dad was living there, flying for UK, SkyMed. He was a medevac pilot, and Toyota factories down the road there. So we had a guy that worked there that was able to wrangle us some steel and some pipes, and we welded together the smoker.
Here's what I feel like. I feel like you can't, you know, smokers are like Lowe's and, you know, Home Depot and the places like that. I don't feel like any good barbecue comes out of those things. I feel like you have to meet some guy that's like, oh, I welded all this metal together. And I built the smoker, and it's fabulous.
Well, is it the smoker, or is it the guy who's got the mentality
to do
the
smoker. Well? I brought that to your golf outing.
Yeah.
You had
that big black one.
Yeah, it was
that
awesome.
Golf outing. I had it there. I had that smoker there.
Yeah.
Now, on that machine right there, now it's all charcoal and wood fired. I have produced some of the prime time barbecue that I ever have, from the tenderloins that I've smoked down to, I mean, just it really, it gives it a different taste. It's like
it does.
You said, it does. It gives
yeah.
it. Now, the old hickory pits we used, that's what City Bar.
That's what you use, pure hickory?
Well, I use blended wood.
Do you soak it?
No.
No. Okay. All right. I never know. Well, I don't know. You know, I
would if you were using chips. I would soak them. But if you're using
Franklin barbecue, you know,
you don't go out there. You do running on the log there, soak it, get it ready, get it seasoned. It's actually, dry.
You know Franklin barbecue, right, in Austin?
I do not.
What?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
They care about that stuff.
Well, they're the ones. No, he knows. They're the ones, they stand in line for they show up at 3 a.m. just to see if they can get the barbecue. And not everybody in line gets the food.
When we opened our barbecue in Johnstown, we were like, all right, how are things going to go? And I remember we were out of money, plumb out. My family was there. My mom was there. My brother was there. My friends were there.
All right, so hold on, back up. You're out of money. You guys have spent everything you had.
Well, hold on. We'll tell you one more time how we get there, how we get to the barbecue.
Yeah, we got
to
get there.
Okay, so we got to get there.
Now, listeners who are on pins and needles.
I will shorten it down. I'll try. I left, and then a man by the name of Brad was the accountant, became the manager whenever there was changes at the clubs. Then they would hire me to do their Wednesday night.
Never trust them, Brad.
Their Wednesday night men's mixer.
It's like Trixie.
And they were like this. So I charged them, $12 a plate. They charged the members, $20 a plate. They had no food costs. And they were like, this is a great deal. Jared comes with his barbecue. He cooks for 50 guys. I cook a little extra. I'm selling it. The business is going well. From that right there, I'm generating home revenue. The club is being sold. The accountant realizes his job isn't going to be there because the person buying it has a wife that's an accountant. I was talking to him one day about this little building I saw that was for rent in Johnstown. And I was like, what that looks like? Looks like the Ozarks. Looks like a little building in the hills that should have a smoker in the back and you can come get some good food.
It's either going to be a barbecue shop or it's going to be a great place to shoot pornography, right?
Yes. Yes.
Perfect, right?
Well,
in the Ozarks, that's both. not in Johnstown, but in the Ozarks, that's both.
And so it was like this. So then he came back next Wednesday. He was doing a catering event there. And he's like, did you call that number? And I was like, no. He's like, call it. And he sat down and made me call, set up a meeting. He was like, I'll go in this barbecue with you.
And there it is. So you go in there and you got nothing.
You feel good about it at that point? Really good, excited?
It was an adventure. It really was. And it was hard work, and we built, it was an old drive through.
Yeah.
And it became a car lot. It's got a garage door still to this day in the back. It was a garage that we converted into a kitchen.
Yeah.
And
you're exactly right. You go in the back of that place, because I've been back in
that's all the rage now, right? These bars that are garages.
It just looks like something in the deep south. Dudes are just running around back there, and there's guys sweaty holding big plates of food and doing stuff. I mean, I hate to say sweaty,
there was no air conditioning back there.
Hotter than nuts.
In the summer times, it got hot. We opened the doors. We were like, is anybody going to show up? How much food do I cook?
So you're there, Shorty's there, your family's there. And it's like, this is the grand opening. You got nothing left.
Nothing left. We bought, spent all the money. We're in debt. We got nothing. And about 20 minutes before we start to open, cars start pulling in. By the time we open up, there's a line out all the way out and around the building.
Now, what did you do to get that interest? Other than is this it's like stone soup, right? You just come in with a kettle and you start putting stuff in, and then people start coming around.
That was it.
Yeah, so people are just watching.
Well, we had a sign out, and it took, about a year to go through because I'd never opened a business before. And education's expensive. I don't care if you want to learn something, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of lessons, and those are the ones that cost me money. So you got to get your permits. You can't just do this. You can't just do that. You're converting a garage into a kitchen.
What's a legal ramification?
What's the EPA have to say about that?
Yeah, what I mean? Right. So there's a lot of inspections. There's a lot of the things that you got to build, and then you're like, fire suppression costs how much?
If the asbestos drops down, it just boils out.
That's it. So, but we got it open, and then we went and bought more food, and then it was on. But it was on.
Now here's what made that place awesome, just from my perspective coming in, is it wasn't just like you go get your ribs and those were good. You could just order the brisket. And that was good.
Yeah, too. The stuff you expect.
You could just order it.
The mac and cheese.
But it was the cheesy mac and the
chicken cheddar bacon ranch macaroni salad.
Yeah, there you go. All that
you
stuff.
You all that?
Yeah, chicken cheddar bacon ranch.
Shall I let it out? Should I give the secret on the chicken cheddar bacon ranch macaroni salad? It's like chicken, I've got people that call for the recipe. And I've kind of given it out.
I think what we should do is start selling the recipe for a buck a pop. I'll just tell it to you.
I'm going to make this tonight if that's what's
happening. I'll just tell it to you. I mean, because at the end, it was a long run. And this is the first time I've really talked about the barbecue, you know? And since then, I like talking. I mean, it's because in the end was the end. I could not work with my partner anymore. And it was.
Whew. I never thought that would happen. I mean, I could see you splitting up with somebody, but I never thought you wouldn't have a business that wasn't related to the restaurant industry.
Well, I didn't either, but I smoked a pack and a half a day to 2 packs a day for 23 years. My wife comes home with this stupid kit. Now, I sold the barbecue. I did go right in it. I wanted to open up Soup for You because what Steve, I think, was going to talk about was the specials.
Yeah, we were going to do the Soup of the Month Club and all this stuff.
Which we still could, but I would get in there at 5 in the morning before the sun came up. I got the meat on the smoker. Now I'm staring. What did we not sell out of? Beef. I've got to make something out of beef. I got my Trinity. I got my roux. I got, you know what I mean?
Trinity.
I got
the look pork. At that.
I've got, you know what I mean? So now I'm grabbing this. I'm shaking this. I'm stirring it up. And sometimes people come in. They're like, when are you going to have that one special again? I was like, maybe never.
I don't even know what it was.
What was it? Yeah, I was like, that's awesome. I kind of remember making that. But yeah, I would have ideas. And one time I dreamt of soup. And I got up, I'm writing something down. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I just made this awesome soup. She's like, you made an awesome soup? You're like, you're bad. I was like, no, I dreamt it. Yeah. I just dreamt this soup, and I got to write it down or I'll forget it. And then I made that soup, and it was awesome. It was a corn bacon chowder that would just – it was corn bacon chowder.
And that's what people – that's what made that place
well,
awesome.
And whenever I would look out, I'd see people in the line. If I know they don't like spicy, I ain't going to offer this to them. If I know they like – you know,
people in the line that you've seen before, and you sort of know – I know what that guy's palate is.
Yep.
That guy dig it when it does it, but he's going to really like this then. So it's like your mom, right? Here, taste this, dude. This is for you. So people would come not just for the ribs, not just for that, but they would come for like the special stuff, you know, the sassy sauce on the side.
Whenever I was done, I was going to continue on. So I rented a kitchen in Centerburg. You got some catering from me. Both you guys did.
Yeah, we absolutely out there. Did. Yeah.
And I had a special out there because there was this guy, Big Jim. He came in 2 times a day, every day that I was open. I was open Wednesday through Saturday. And his reaction on his face when he would eat something. and so then he would bring friends in, but I had a rule. And it was to shut the F up and eat it.
You can say the F word, it's all right.
Well, you're right. That was shut the fuck up and eat it. All right? There was no substitution. There was no deletions. You didn't even know what the menu was.
You'd come in,
I'd be like, this, it's $50.
I love it.
And Jim would bring people, and I loved it because he would sit at the end of the bar and he'd be like, all right now. And he was always so excited. He's a big guy, but now he's lost a lot of weight, which is great. He's in good shape. But he was like, all right, don't say anything. He was just always so excited.
It was like the soup Nazi.
Yeah,
like,
he was like, just shut up.
Just give me money.
Oh, well, what are we having? He'd be like this,
just eat.
No. He was like, he'll make you leave. And so that's it. So I wanted to open up Soup for You.
Soup for You.
And I was going to open it up in Westerville, Ohio. It's where I graduated high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a great place. I love Westerville. And so next thing I know, I've got this stupid kit for a vape kit. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I drink Jim Beam, ride Harley Davidson's, and smoke Marlboro Reds. And you've known this for a long time.
Right. Babe. You got sideburns. You got motorcycles.
That's what I'm telling Shorty. I'm like, I'm not into this. This is stupid. Now do a peaser. Hey, just give it a shot. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So the first day, I'm using it. I smoked like 5 cigarettes. Second day, I had like 3. And the third day, I'm looking at the same pack of cigarettes. I hadn't bought none. Now I'm not losing my house. I could afford to smoke. I got an envelope, put $8 in it, because that's what I spent on average a day. So then every morning, I got up, out of my wallet, I took $8 and put it in that envelope.
Oh, yeah.
Then I went to this vape store. Butch Vaughn opened up this vape store. He'd been open for 3 days when I walk in, and I'm going, what the hell did you sell my wife? And he's like, no, no, brother, listen up here, man. I got to tell you about this. Now, I knew him for 8 years. He's coming in. He's coming in the barbecue. He's a customer of mine. Yeah. You know, I knew his family. I knew who he was. He knew me. And we're standing there talking. So then next thing I know is after 30 days, because anybody can do 30 days. I'm just telling you. That's nothing. A lot of talk there. You guys can do 30 days.
30 days of anything.
30
days,
you can do it.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm like, I got $300 in his envelope. And I felt better. And I had more energy. And I'm going up there, I'm talking to Butch, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to open up this soup place. It's going to be so killer. And he's like this. Jared, he's like, man, I loved your food.
Yeah.
Loved it, bro. Ate it all the time. You're pretty good with people. He's like, you're bringing people into my store. He's like, I'm looking to sell franchises. And I'm like, what? And now the timing's right. The timing's right because I started, you know, I started in the kitchen. You know, with my mom, I started, you know, being a professional at 14. I had some great jobs in the industry. I got some great education, met a lot of business people in the country clubs, been cooking for them. And instead of turning that place, it, 536 South State Street in Westerville, Ohio, Advanced Vapor, into soup for you, I did that. And now
look at his business depth.
It's like, We're talking what, 2012 here, 2012.
When I opened, when did you
say
I sold 62. No longer... Yeah, that's right. We're gonna get back on 60.
We gotta close that chapter. And we're gonna go back and talk about the later stuff. But the Route 62 closes in 2012, or you sell out in 2012. You're done. So everybody listen.
And everybody's like this. I can't believe you leave. Why would you leave such a great business? No. I had to leave
because you could predict what was gonna happen. Everybody, right? This is one of those moments that everybody should listen to. You could predict what was gonna happen. All right, so let's talk about vapor.
We just talked about Conor McGregor the other day. They nicknamed him Mystic Mac. You're Mystic Jared.
You're Mystic.
You're a psychic.
Well, here's the deal, though.
By the way, I got to comment quickly on the fact that this episode should probably be named "I'm Not Losing My House. I Can Afford to Smoke."
We're talking barbecue, cigarettes.
Look at the depth,
vape.
But I realized I was about to turn 40. You know, now I'm going to turn 43.
Are you that old?
Yeah, I am. And I was like, hold on, there's a lot of people like me. So I got on my bike, man, and I was like, you know what? I've been working my ass off in the restaurant industry because it's a lot of work. It's hard work. Everybody should have to work there so they understand what people go through in that industry.
And if I can just say, let me just stop.
The heck is Bill out?
You worked your freaking ass off. I mean, you did everything. And I remember this crap. I remember watching this because, I mean, look, I'll give you the side story as a lawyer. You would come in here and we'd be eating or doing whatever. And I say, dude, what the fuck are you doing, man? You got to get rid of it. I mean, it's like you're doing all the work, all of it, every bit of it. And I was like, anybody can do the bean counting. Hell, I'll do it for you. I'll bang that crap into QuickBooks all day long for you. You were doing everything.
He used to beat me in the head about that.
You're going to Sam's Club. You're going here. You're buying this. You're carrying this. I remember you're going back there, and you're like, you got all these minions, but you're the guy carrying the big heavy crap from the smoker to this. I'm just like, dude, at some point,
it was hard work.
You know, at some point, it's your turn to eat.
But is there a component of it that's to make it be good? It's got to be me. It's got to be me doing it.
I put a lot in it. And I got a lot of response. I made a lot of great friends, and the reactions of people. I got training from being around chefs. I didn't go to school for it, anything like that. But my mother can still smoke me any day in the kitchen.
Really?
Oh yeah, forget about it. We can get into the
She made the pies for my wife recently.
Oh really? I'm calling Mama Belinsky. Then I'm coming over for dinner.
So good. Anyway, so you say screw it. I was going to make soup. Instead, I'm going to sell vape.
Yeah, that's great.
Well,
I even got the space where I was going to make
soup. It's like,
hell
then, why don't I do desserts, too?
No, that's where it was at. But I was like this, you know. So I went to a bunch of different stores. I rode my bike to Cleveland. I went to Cincinnati, down in Kentucky. And one thing I found is that I did not like how I was treated in a lot of these stores. A lot of them were like heroin dens, man. A lot of them, you know what I mean, were playing to the kids. And I was like this, I want to open a store, but I want to get the 30-plus. I want to get the 25-plus. I want to get the older people. I want families. I want people that don't want to smoke around their kids anymore.
Yeah.
I want 40-year-olds bringing in the 75-year-old because they want their dad around for another 5 years.
Yeah.
I want the people with money. I want.
Well, that's what
I don't.
It's all about,
I
right?
don't. Hey. I don't want the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't need. I realized when I looked at that envelope, $300. I wasn't losing my house. There's a lot of me out there. There's a lot of people that are just like me out there, and.
So that's an interesting thing. It's almost sort of altruistic, right? You weren't trying to get people hooked on vape. You were trying to get people off the cigarettes.
Yeah.
As much as anything.
I wanted to legally sell controlled substance.
Fair enough. I mean, look, well, I mean, if we're really going to cut down to brass tacks, it's a drug. I mean, you're selling nicotine. It's lawful. You're allowed to sell it. I mean, it's just like selling or drinking coffee here, so it's the same.
I'm drinking tea.
I saw the
I'm
mayor of Johnstown. Our mayor. He owns the liquor store. One day I'm in the liquor store. This is when I first started vaping. I see he's got a liquid there. And I started asking questions about it. And he couldn't give me. I was like, where do you get that? Because I didn't know anything. I'm like, where is this stuff coming from? What's the deal? He's like, I get it from this guy in Reynoldsburg. Get it from a guy in Reynoldsburg.
Out of the back of his car.
Oh, that's why I says he mixed it up in his tub or something. He's like, well, I don't know. I was like, you're not a very good drug dealer. He goes, I'm not a drug dealer. I said, I'm buying a bottle of Jim Beam and a bottle of liquid nicotine. You're a drug dealer.
Right, that's right.
I love it.
You know, and he kind of looks at me kind of like, huh? But that was the other thing. I wanted to look into it. I wanted to know, what is this? Yeah. What am I inhaling? What is going on?
He shows up here at 511 South High with this big stack of stuff. He's like, here, go. I think we met on Saturday morning. He brings all this stuff, and we're going through it. And he's like, here, you can buy this here, and this guy's making it here, but I want to get into making it, and I'm going to sell it somewhere. And I was like, all right, just go, man. Have at it.
Well, that was it, too. And this job here, I've learned more about government than I ever have. Okay. Through the regulations, through, you know, there's a lot going on. There's petitions. I got to write letters to Portman. I have to get with Sherrod Brown. I have to get my customers to get with them. I have to watch that Casey doesn't put a 63% tax, wholesale tax on it. That puts me out of business. Why would you buy from me? You go to the internet.
Yeah.
63%. If you want to tax it, okay, but let's do it in a 63%.
All right. So here's my initial reaction to this stuff when you came to me was this. All right, you say I'm going to start selling vape liquid stuff, and people are going to smoke. And I'm like, all right, that's like that cigarette substitute. I didn't know much about it either, but and it's like as I'm sitting there listening to you, the first thing I thought is Philip Morris ain't going to like this.
No.
And, yeah, they ain't going to. The big tobacco boys. No. The big tobacco boys ain't going to be liking this crap.
This
at
is
all.
Our game.
And so I figured. I think I even told you. I said sooner or later those boys are going to start throwing big money at the government to say, regulate the crap out of the little guys and get them out of there. And that was, but it hasn't happened the way I thought it would happen.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of work done on it. I mean, Pandora's box has been open. I mean, just drive down the road. You can see people are vaping. You see people on TV that are vaping.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch Street Outlaws. They're drag racers, you know, and I've seen
Street Outlaws.
I'm watching them smoke their cigarettes at the first season. And I was like, then I was like, he's vaping now too. I was like, there's like a bunch of these guys. I was like, yeah, drag racers are vaping now too.
All right, if James Dean were still alive, he'd be vaping.
That was it. Yeah. I got some, I mean, a lot of my friends, I'm the young guy. I've got, you know, I mean, the bike world, we could talk about that at some point in time. We can talk about a few years I took off that I was in the bike world. These guys come up tough. Yeah, was that stupid? And they'll come, I just want something to taste like tobacco. Now they come in, they're like this, hey, man, you got any more of that fruit latte that you had there?
Right, right.
The green tea?
Right, that was good.
The green tea flavor?
That was good, yeah.
Okay, it's not as cool sounding. It's like, I'm not going to be shy. I used to chew tobacco. And just to be cool, I'd say, give me the black stuff, the straight. Or not even straight. It was like, God, what do they call it?
The Indian one?
It was Skoll, and it was like, it tastes like buttermilk to me. It was unflavored stuff.
What was the Indian one? They came in the bag like Big League Chew.
Well, my dad said he can eat Copenhagen with a spoon.
Oh, there you go.
So, I never got. I chewed one time.
It was classic. I think it was school class.
I've never smoked a cigarette. Well, I guess I've smoked. Like I've just tried, but I've never smoked a whole cigarette myself. But I've chewed, and I remember thinking, "This is awesome."
Well, don't first you have to do that to golf?
The first time
I did always
it.
Had to.
That's
do that
when
to
I
golf,
did it right. when I was golfing. I was like, it gave me a little bit of a buzz. I was like, this is awesome. This is a chew. And the minute I took it out of my mouth, I wanted to puke my guts out. Like as soon as I didn't have that.
Look, man, it's like any other drug. You got to play through that crap. You got to just play.
Well, isn't that like anything? It's like you probably don't like alcohol the first time you try it, but then you train your body to like it. You probably don't like cigarettes the first time. Jared's looking at me like, I like the first time I tried
it. The first time I tried tobacco, it made me feel sick.
Oh, it made me feel horrible.
But I freaking loved it.
You pushed through it?
I absolutely loved it. And it look, I said this about alcohol, I'll say it about tobacco. Easiest thing I ever did to quit. It just took like 15 years for tobacco and 25 years for booze.
Yeah.
12 years old, dip a Kodiak with my cousin in North Dakota, sitting there watching a merry-go-round spin around that I thought I was on. And that was my first reaction. That was my first, boy, I was green. Yeah, I remember that was something else right there. I remember my cousin. Boy, they were laughing. They thought that was funny. But
you play through.
But
it,
I had to stand up. I didn't spit it out because I was like, nope.
I'm too cool, right? That's
I am not. I'm going to
get it weird? Is it because we really like it?
This is where you get to the heart of the screwed up self-esteem of addicts like me, right?
Well, me too. Like
you're doing it because you want to be perceived as cool.
Yeah.
Whenever I saw him.
Is that a marketing thing?
My dad smoked cigarettes and Bud, the guy that he opened the helicopter business with, because I used to go to work with him. I was at the helipad. I used to sit on the floor of his Bell helicopter when he flew tours or did ag work. And they smoked cigarettes and flew, and they had cowboy hats on.
Right, that's cool
and
shit,
they were out
man.
There, and it was cool.
Marlboro,
and then,
man.
And then for a while, we owned a...
Selleck on a horse with a cowboy hat and a cigarette and a Marlboro Red. And, that's cool shit. Yeah.
Well, we owned the Wigwam Resort.
I don't like dudes, but...
The Wigwam Resort.
It was fishing cabins on Table Rock Lake in the Ozarks. Family-run business. We cleaned the rooms. We did the laundry. We checked it out. My mom did most of it. We were young. But as soon as someone checked out, I was always like, I'll clean the room. I'll run in there. Because they're going to leave some cigarettes or dip or maybe a beer in the fridge. A
couple condoms.
You know what I mean? I'm the best kid. I'll clean it. I'll get it. There's no way. It's like, what are they leaving behind? Yeah. I'm going to get it.
And Jared's working his butt off.
A lesson for parents, right? If your kids are eager to do chores, there's probably a reason. So, all right. So you start selling vape to the bikers. And so you've got this vape store up there. I walked in there. And what's the address again?
536 South State Street.
You know what I think used to be at that your very location, if not right next door? There was a pet store right there, and there was a pizza place called Ruffini's Pizza.
Ruffini's was right there.
And it was my favorite pizza as a kid. I grew up in like right over there near Hoover Reservoir there. And Ruffini's Pizza was
Big Nut.
I'm a big nut guy. Right, that's right. Anybody out there? I'm a big nut guy.
Yeah.
We were the Golden Eagles. But Ruffini's
Did you guys run around yelling Big Nut? That's got to be a great name.
I get customers that walk into the store that find me there. They don't want anything to do with vape. They'll be like, you sure you ain't got no soup or anything in the back, Jared? Like, hey, what's going on? They're like, hey, I heard you got this. You know what I mean? That's some Jaws Tavern Centerburg customers or people from...
But it's the same philosophy, right? You go in there, and he's not just... If you've never been up there, you got to stop there. I used to stop there on the way back from my dentist because I go by there.
I treat it like I treated my restaurant. I get to know your palate. I know that you're not going to like this flavor over here that you like these over here. And my biggest thing is customer service and education. If you work with people and talk with them, there's going to be some people coming. I've got people that are going through, you know, treatment for cancer. I got cancer patients. I got people that... CPD. I got people that have smoked for 40 years that this is their crutch and they don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
And so you have to wire different hats in there too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got to be excited whenever it needs to be excited, but sometimes people don't want excitement.
Yeah.
So, well, and Jeff, you're in this business with me. You and I run businesses. You don't get to be a dickhead for a day.
Like, no.
When the customer shows up, like you got to get your Zen face on. Like, all right, this is what this dude needs. It's like they don't care if you've been up since 1:30 because you couldn't sleep, or that your kid was sick last night, or you got the cold, or you got this. The customer, they don't care. You got to always put it on and do it. And there's something about that that makes it work. People understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you've got grandma coming in, you got to be grandma's guy. When you've got, you know, the younger dude coming in, you got to be the cool guy.
And you have to have a team. That could be a whole cast right there. Is how do you find Jeff's? How do you find these people, and then how do you keep them? Because I got a solid team.
Let me just get arrogant about it for a second. For you, you don't have to find those people; they find you. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens, right?
All my guys were customers.
You're who you are to everybody, and you're I'm not saying you're a pushover, but you're nice to everybody at first anyway, unless they deserve something else. Yeah. But it's like, if you just treat people well and you've got your philosophy about you and you act on right, and you act on wrong, and you do what you're supposed to do, then good people, I think good people come to you. I've been charmed. I said this the other day, we had a big meeting in the other room the other day, and I was like, you know what? This place is freaking awesome. Our law firm is awesome because the phone always rings and the clients 99.99% of the time are happy. It just is, this place has always worked. And I realized it's like, that's just because we just treat people right all the time. And, and the employees that are good stay. The ones that are crappy, well, they just sort of find their own way. I don't even have to fire them. They just find their own way out.
Yeah.
And it's,
I mean, it doesn't hurt Jared. I mean, he pays me $500,000 a year and $2,500 a podcast. So it doesn't hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, he's just trying to sell. We're just here. So everybody smoke Jared Blinsky's face. Anyway, so you've got this business cooking now. In Westerville, instead
cooking,
of Raffini's.
Cooking, no pun intended.
Right next to Raffini's Pizza, which was the best pizza around. So right next to Raffini's Pizza. And that's been going since, what, 2013 you opened the doors there?
Yeah.
So 5 years. And you're in the how'd you get into distribution? How's that happen? If I wanted to buy what you buy, if I wanted to go buy a bunch of bottles of that stuff, and how do you get it? Where's it coming? Who makes that crap? Or is that like trade secret stuff I can't ask you?
Well, I mean, it's made in labs. You know, I mean, it's made in certified ISO labs. You get a retail license and you sell it. You set up a wholesale account, and you pick it up, and you buy it for X, and you sell it for Y. You know, we got into where I was making liquids. I wanted to get into it more. I wanted to could work with the taste and the flavors it was cooking, because it's simple syrup. Is really what it is there. It's the same flavors as using hard.
Is there somebody that regulates, is very specific about what goes into it?
We got cut off. I was making flavors. I was working with a lab in New Mexico. I'm working with a lab that's right outside of Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
But then we had to have everything third-party tested, everything made, and everything filed, and everything sent in with the FDA and the government.
Gotcha.
And they gave us an allowance to where it had to stop. Big Tobacco tried to get a rule passed that in July of this year, we'd have to take everything off the shelves that was not produced before 2003. Everything that was filed by 2003, they wanted to make that the cutoff of filing, which would leave nothing but the View, the Blue, and Mark 10s and the products
that they own. I remember that. My dad used that.
Big Tobacco owns that.
Yeah, okay.
So they wanted to just stop it there.
Isn't that coincidental? I mean, we're talking about like the little stuff at Speedway where they got the little stuff there and it doesn't look.
Those are the ones that light up on the end.
They used to call them e-cigarettes. It just never caught on, did it? I mean, it's like they never.
No. And
is the delivery system different?
Yes.
Than what you got? I mean, I see these big things that you guys have. They look like magic wands. I mean, they got these big things.
Harry Potter, man.
Look at that thing.
That looks like a key fob.
He's whipping out little gifts for us. Oh, look, he's doing it right now.
He's vaping. Look at that.
Look at that, man. That's insane. Well, here's my question. So do they know what goes into that liquid?
Yes.
What I mean by that is this. So if you go into a gas station, we call them dick pills. So you go into a gas station, you can get these extends and things like that, like on the little quarter machines. You know what I mean?
Dick pill.
Well, here's what came up. So in athletes, there's been issues with how these are regulated because what goes into them, people don't know. Creatine, steroids, and people are testing positive for things they didn't know they were taking because they're taking these supplements and these things.
There's a lot of junk out there. All the products that we have is certified with the FDA, is made in a certified lab. Everybody's got their paperwork. Everything's checked out.
So they know everything that goes into
it. So if you wanted to get in the business, check out who you're buying from.
But if I buy
don't buy anything from. If it says made in China,
If I buy a bunch of liquid from China, who knows what's getting fentanyl and everything else?
Yeah, they still paint cars with lead for children. You know, I mean, they don't buy it.
Right.
So that's where it goes into as well. There is making sure that you're going to a reputable place, making sure that you're looking.
Now you're advanced vapor. There's other advanced vapors.
There are,
but
there
might not be. They're applying the same.
No, they
quality
are.
Standards
advanced
you
vapors are.
Okay.
They all are. I mean,
well, see, you're supposed to say they're all crap.
That's his brand.
We all work together.
You guys have the same suppliers then?
Yeah. The contract that I bought into, I buy all my hardware through Advanced Vapor. I have to follow their protocol. to have the name on the top of my store.
Well, and it's not a bad protocol. I
mean, it's a good program. It's a great system. It's set up right. It's set up for success. When it comes to liquid, that's on the franchisee. He can buy and sell or get whatever he wants from wherever he wants. And there's a lot of company. There are thousands upon thousands of flavors. I mean, in our mailbox every day, I have to call and tell people stop sending samples. One day, there were so many samples piled up, and I guessed, it was a guesstimate, I think I threw away about 80 pounds.
Really?
Worth of stuff.
80 pounds?
I just kept filling the truck. We had it boxed up. Well, you know, it's got shelf lives on it. You know, really, over a year, the more it sets, the more it steeps. Like I said, the flavoring in it is the same thing using hard candy and baked goods. So the more it sets around, the mint will get stronger. The flavors will get stronger.
Now I know why he's here, because that's how soups are.
Yeah.
Soups are better the second day. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you made it right away, it's not going to taste like it will in a week.
Yeah. Well, that's why Shorty was like, don't be making white chili, man. It's 9 o'clock at night. There's no way it's
going to
be ready. There
was no way. There was no way. But I really wanted to bring it.
Yeah.
Because I listened to the podcast, and then you're like, oh.
I'm not going to lie about this. I was thinking this morning, I made my shake. I got this Ninja. I threw.
Oh, you've been doing the kale thing.
I've been doing it for a long time. But I was making the shake. I said, man, I wonder if Jared's bringing some something.
I didn't think about it until you said it. Now, you know, you're my boy, but I mean,
I wasn't going to rely on
usually
that.
When I come to this office.
All right, we'll just.
I usually have food.
We'll just Postmates or Uber Eats Panera. It's got to be open by now. We'll get some breakfast here before the day starts.
All right. So you've got this shop. It's up and cooking. And then, so 2012. We talked about you sort of left the Route 62 barbecue, sold your interest, 100% gone.
Done.
Because you just thought, something ain't right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a little pause there.
I almost said at the beginning when I said we started it up.
I'm pushing him a little.
No partners. If you want to start a business right now.
Look, you've heard me say that how many times, right? I've had partners.
And so just don't do it.
Yeah, I mean.
Just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like people come in and should you go to law school?
At the end, I said I was selling it. It was like they didn't believe me. At the end, I had to go to Brad, and I finally gave him David Goldstein, a very fine attorney.
Yeah.
Gave him his card. And I said, if you need to contact me, you will contact him, and I suggest you get an attorney.
Right. So you've got this business. You got this agreement. I remember reading some of this agreement. And here's the problem. This is I've seen this. I do criminal defense work. That's all I've ever done. But I've been around the block a few times.
You dabble.
I dabble around. I talk to people. See, that's what we do here. We help people with their problems.
Yeah.
And sometimes their problems aren't just the drunk driving. It's something else. So, you know, I've seen this enough times to know that usually the dudes or the girls or the guys that have sort of the artistic, hardworking talent, there's always the leeches that jump on your back and say, man, that guy's got something and he doesn't even know it. He's got something and he doesn't even know it. And it's usually, I hate to say it, it's usually the freaking lawyers that are doing that crap. Mm-hmm. It's always the lawyers doing that crap, right? Because we just look at that crap and we're like, oh, shit, I couldn't cook a burger if I wanted to. Not that way anyway. So I'm going to jump on this dude and make some money off him.
Freaking
lawyers. And that's when I saw your deal. I was like, yeah, this guy's taking advantage of you. And then I walked in that restaurant to pick up like Thanksgiving. Well, that guy was nowhere around. I mean, you're serving how many Thanksgiving dinners? Yeah. I mean, this is another thing. You had Thanksgiving dinners coming out of there in bulk.
Yeah.
Like over 100.
I can't believe
that was something special too. Really, it was. When we started doing that, we did the full meal. And your family ate it.
Yeah, every year.
We would feed 700 to 1,000 people. And I would think about it. I was like, man, these families are getting together. And the food, they love it. And they come back the next year for it. I became a part of their Thanksgiving. I became a part of their family.
Yeah.
And that was the grand part of the whole business was becoming part with people, breaking bread with people. You hear it all the time. It means something. You see something in them. You give them nourishment. It's a very powerful thing.
I got to bring up the story that I told you about him bringing white chili to my wife, and we had that time when we broke bread. That's how this started, Steve. We are here on a podcast now. That's how this started. You and I sat down, and I was like, you know, we had just talking life. And you said, you know what, man? This is what I do when I'm working. I listen to this podcast. I listen to these snap judgments.
Yeah.
And I think this was maybe before the podcast thing was in all the rage. dude, I got hooked. I just started listening. This is like a thing that just tells stories. It's just stories. Stories. Man. That's all it is. And that got me into this. That got me because he knows I'm a big podcast guy. I love when I even, you know, when I can, when I'm driving, I'll listen to these things and just hear people's stories and hear your insight.
Yeah, I've got some stories.
Oh, I know. We probably need to transition to something.
This is going to be called the Blinsky Chronicles. It used to be a show. You don't remember this. Way beyond your time.
Let me guess it maybe. Go ahead. Can you do a quote or something?
No.
Basically, Jared, what we've been doing over the last couple episodes is making fun of Jeff because he will do a quote, and I'll be like, shh. I didn't know Smokey and the Bandit.
I heard that. I was listening.
I heard people screaming. My brother-in-law screamed at the radio. But all right, go ahead.
All right. So I always drive. As I'm driving, I think a lot. You know, I'm cruising and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to have Jared on this podcast. We're going to talk to him about some stuff. What are we going to? And there's so much crap we can go. There's so many places we can go.
Right. This is the intro.
I told Shorty, I was like, remember that time in Mount Vernon whenever I was drunk and I ran over that cop's bicycle and he let me go? I was like, that would have been a great story for me.
That's a DUI 360.
This is
Meet Jared and Intro to Jared, right?
All right.
That's what this is.
It's how I met Steve. We get into that.
That's a whole world, right? So the show I'm talking about, I can't give you any quotes because I don't remember the quotes, but on, I think it was Thursday nights, there was this awesome TV show called the Hill Street Blues. Remember Hill Street Blues? Remember the theme song? Hill Street Blues.
All right, I was going to say Hanging with Mr.
Cooper.
Hold on,
I'm not even there yet. I think it was right after the Hill Street Blues was a show that didn't last very long. It was called The Gangster Chronicles.
I definitely do not know what that is.
It didn't make it. It was just one of those short-lived TV series that didn't make it. But I was driving in, I was like, Blinsky Chronicles.
I like that. The
Blinsky Chronicles.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to call this right now, the Blinsky Chronicles, because there's so many stories, and Chronicles sort of gives you that thing. So, and one of these is the sort of the end game of this whole thing, which is you predict you got this dude on your back taking advantage, not there on Thanksgiving morning when you're passing out food, sweating your ass off, Shorty's making pies, you guys are meeting and not just giving food to people, but like talking to each person that comes in, you know, because I would sit there and watch this crap, be like, this is amazing. And then I'd go in on a Thursday afternoon because I had court somewhere coming back and I'm going to grab some food to take home. And you're there working your tail off and Mystery Man ain't there. And then I stop by again sometime. I'm like, hey, where's the mystery guy? I only saw him there one time and he's sitting there in this little chair doing nothing while everybody's running around working their nuts off. I just couldn't do it. I could not. Like, here, this is my law office. I could pay people to do it. And it's like, if somebody's got to go to the mailbox, I'll do it. If somebody's got to go take the trash down to the dumpster, I'll do it. If somebody's got to drill these holes in this little podcast table, I'll do it. I don't care. But this dude was just what? So I was like, man, you got to get away from this guy. You're like,
hey. I had to leave. My mother was worried because when I worked, I had a knife in my hand.
So he's sort of a dick.
Yeah. Right. I have to watch what I say because the whole time since the end of this, people have always asked and I've always just kind of left it as, well, we had a divorce.
It was like a divorce. Yeah,
it was a divorce.
So you hand Goldstein's card.
It was a divorce without makeup sex, man.
Fuck no, bro.
And was this like you got? Was this like you got Goldstein? Settle that one.
Yeah,
David A. Goldstein.
Well, here's the thing on it too: is that I left it there. I left money on the table. I was willing to sell it for like nothing. I wanted out, man.
Yeah, I was like, no, man.
I wanted out.
You wanted out of the business or out of barbecue?
There's a whole other part of it, man. At one point in time, we took over the food and beverage of Little Turtle Country Club. It's a weird story how it all goes.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And man, I was working over 80 hours a week plus, man. I mean, I would get up at, man, I was up at 4 a.m. I went to bed at midnight. And that was it. And we were hemorrhaging. We were losing money.
Yeah.
And when I went to him, I said, we have to pull out of here. He was like, we haven't made our money back. I was like, we ain't going to make our money back.
Yeah.
We got to stop it because we had a contract, a 3-month deal. To have the 3 months, they could say, you're not staying or we could leave. I was like, we're done. And I'm at a loss for words. I'm usually not.
Well, I think what sucks the most is Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, I mean, what we could get to is that he has shown his true colors, and I need to say nothing.
Right. You don't have to say anything. All we need to do is say there was a big news story about a month and a half ago. Was that about when it was?
Yeah.
When did this awful thing happen in Westerville?
I can't remember.
It was at Bill.
Yeah, a month ago or so.
It was at Bill's complex, right?
Bill. Sorry. I thought you were talking about the other post.
Well, this is
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got to have all the first part of this. Yeah.
This is it. Bill works with me. You know Bill. He couldn't be here this morning because Bill's sort of like a midlife bachelor.
I know Bill.
Yeah, so five in the morning is rough on him. So
Billy.
He sends me this text. He's like, oh my gosh, I was driving out and he was there in real time when this
I was going to Johnstown and I was on State Street leaving my store because I'm in Westerville and cop cars just boom, boom, right on by me. When I get to Johnstown, I get a beep on my phone and I look down and I see the news because it was a Westerville. I follow Westerville. They let me know when streets are closed and things like that. And I see this here, and I look it up, and I'm heading back. And holy cow. Now, you know, I mean, it was, and Westerville was hurt. Westerville was hurt. I cried in the bank.
Right. It was horrible.
I knew these guys. When I opened my business, we can get back to what I did there. I had no employees when I opened this. It was me to open that vape store. I didn't stand out front blowing big clouds. I always had a broom. And I always sweep the door. This little Caesar's Pizza. I held the door for people. I cleaned up the parking lot so I could talk to people.
Yeah.
I was out there. And I waxed my trash can in front of my store. It means something. When you walk into a place, you want to clean. You want it to look good. You don't want a big pile of trash. And if they drop a little Caesar's marinara, I wipe it up.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
And I would be out there with my broom. And they eat at Smash Burgers and they eat there. And, those officers. And I graduated in 1993 from Westerville South. And I knew them from there.
Oh, man.
You know, Anthony, I cooked out in Centerburg where you guys came out to. You know, that ties into the whole thing. That's what the other. So, you know, and then. So.
And give us now, a little thumbnail.
I'll give you another thumbnail. I'm going to back it up to. About last summer, I'm on Twitter there. I'm looking around and I see the old I see old Brad's tweet there. I wonder what all the white trash in Johnstown are doing. They're not cutting their parents' lawn.
Can you imagine that?
And I read that. And it's a local business. Man. I lived there, bro. And I'm like this. I'm like, man. And I talked about that line out the door and around the block. I was like, we built it. They built it.
Yeah.
How did you do it? This the stone soup. How did I do it? Johnstown did it.
Yeah.
Johnstown built it. Now then again, I had my catering company. I brought my catering book in. That's nice. I gave that business to Route 62 Barbecue because I was already doing events, already had customers.
Right.
So I was able to bring them in. So that was a nice start to a brand new restaurant.
Yeah.
And they built it. And I go into work. Now I knew about this stuff before it ever hit the news. And I open it up and I show my guys. I say, hey guys, we've been over here over 3 years now, going on 4 years. I was like, look at this. You guys have become friends with a lot of our customers because you get to know them. They come in there once a week, twice a week. We know them by their name. They come in.
No, this is your vape team?
Yeah, this is my vape team. I said, this is my old partner, and he posted this. I said, now, I don't think he's got many people following him, but you guys might share social media now with our customers. So do yourself a favor. And your future a favor, and our future a favor. Don't do anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
because
the problem.
I said, you can text a buddy, you can make a phone call, you can have a beer and say some shit, man. But when you put it online, it's out there.
Well, it doesn't.
Nobody
even,
would
you
say,
don't
this
say
shit,
this.
Though. Here's the thing.
Look, and we need a backstory here too, because people that are listening that don't know, there's people that listen that are not in Ohio.
All right, so here's what goes on. There's this restaurant that you built, that Johnstown built with you. That was the very foundation of it, is this sort of hometown, small town Ohio awesome place.
It's the person you want to give money
to. It's the kind of place that would have been on the National Food Network stopping by and
diners,
saying,
drive-ins,
and here,
dives.
Meet Shorty. She's the one making your pies today. And here's Jared. You think you got something special? Well, he does. He just won't tell you what it is. I mean, you could just see that kind of crap happening there. And then you get so fed up with this that you say, I can't do it anymore. Even though this place is awesome and it's all me, I can't do it anymore. I leave. 4 years later, now we've got this awful shooting in Westerville, Ohio, where two police officers killed in the line of duty. And this was national news. This was all over, and it was horrible. And Westerville was a small town. And, I mean, we don't have to get into it. You've always supported police officers. You've always supported law enforcement. You've always supported firemen. You do a ride for pride for veterans every year where you go up to the memorial. It's like, this is the kind of crap that makes you cry. And then we get this guy, your former partner, not only tweeting that what do these hillbillies in this town do except cut their grass? I mean, what the hell does that mean anyway?
I don't know. That was an old post.
And that's old, right?
That was old.
And nobody saw that until they saw the big day.
Yeah, then they
saw it. Can you imagine having a restaurant, sitting in a local community, that you want people to come into your restaurant, and that's what you post?
Right. You were selling your food to the locals. Like, you were relying on your local customers for
now,
your
I don't even think they teach that. It's not in Business 101 because it's so dumb.
All right, so here's what gets posted. What was the shooting? This is February 10th. Do I really have to watch a split screen of Pebble Beach Golf for a couple of cops that were killed hours ago in a suburb? Can you imagine
that?
That's
insane.
So now I've got
Who would even think that? So it's like, I gotta keep going here. You keep tell going. Your guys, be careful with social media, be careful with this. Well, you can't fix asshole.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot fix it. If I would never even, it's like, I don't have to control that because I would never even cross my mind to post it.
And before whoever found it, I had seen it, and I shook my head. I was blown away. I didn't show my whole team that. I showed one guy, Derek, but I was blown away. I was blown away because and then it hit the news. Now, I will say that I guess we can go to where it hit the news, and it got out there, and it spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And on Valentine's Day.
How many shares did that guy get?
1:30 in the morning, I'm sleeping. How many shares, what?
Like, how many people saw what he posted?
Oh, this was viral.
Oh, my God.
It got viral overnight.
Well, at 1:30 in the morning, I get a text from a friend of mine's in Chicago. Said, what's Brad doing with the BBQ? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, these posts are crazy. I was like, where are you getting this information? He said, Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. So I just Google, 62 BBQ Facebook. It pulls up, and I start reading some of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh my gosh. And I just couldn't stop reading it. And it was just bing, 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 bing. I read till 3:30 in the morning. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And I wake up in the morning to tell Shorty, and I look at my phone. I've got numbers that I don't even have stored in my phone. It says, Jared, is this still your number? You know what I mean? And Johnstown's hitting me up. The people from the car dealerships. Then there's people hitting me up. They're like, you should buy it back. No. I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm retired.
Yeah.
And then the whole day, I couldn't go to work because I was putting out fires.
I
was talking on the phone, I'm clicking over. Oh, yeah. People are calling me. Wanting
so people
my
think you're associated there's, to it.
If you Google Route 62 Barbie, you can find videos with me on it. You can find my name up there. There's still stuff posted there.
Yeah.
Then I see then they shut down their Facebook. So then they go to Yelp. And then Yelp becomes their backboard. So they're nailing on Yelp.
I didn't realize that.
And then they're like this. Then they're like, we found his partners. Somebody posted it. I don't have the exact quote, but it was like this. This guy seems pro-law enforcement to the extreme.
Somebody posted that?
It's like social media helped it, right?
Because on my social media, I post things like, you know, barbecue, the American flag, and Cadillacs.
Yeah.
All right? That's what
rock
I post.
Flag well,
and that's not even calculated. That's the crap you like.
you know what I mean?
That's what you like.
And so, they're like, from anybody can look up them, because I have, that's all I have, really. I've got an Instagram account that, once again, it's a Cadillac magazine
now,
did you
like the podcast here?
I did.
I've been doing the audio defense thing. I did. I got your little thumbs up. Shorty gave a little post, too.
That's it, man.
I said, we got a hell of a guest coming tomorrow.
And so now I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, the story I used to tell, the story I started out with my envelope of money, I tell that to people, customers. I say, you know, I was in the restaurant industry for over 23 years. My last part was I used to own Route 62 Barbecue out in Johnstown, Ohio. And people are like, oh, I've heard of that. It's awesome. It's the best. Yeah. And I always say this. I was like, you know, and then I talk about my smoking, how I switched over to this and I sold it. I don't say that it was a bad anything. I just, you know, got out of that.
Now you never bashed it.
I never bashed it because I wanted it to survive. I wrote those recipes, man. I put my hard work in there. I never wanted that building to crush. And if you look up their reviews were all great. Yeah. So it was like, it was a bonus. It worked good into my, into yeah. talk with people. Right, it's right, like, well, you used to own that restaurant. It was great. Oh, I knew Shorty. We used to go up there. You did my daughter's wedding. You did. But now I'm in Westerville. And my old partner of the, I announced that I used to own Route 62 Barbecue. And right now, this is a quote from the chief of police.
Westerville chief of police.
There's a special place in hell for Brad Jalovic.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a quote. Remember
reading, yeah, I saw that.
That's
quote.
A quote. I'm like this. Whoa. You know what I mean? I'm like, whoa.
So you got to either take that on or ignore it. And you're sort of taking it. I mean, here's what's great, though. This is like you can't fix asshole, but it works the other way, too, right? It's like you just sort of get, somebody put a quote up there that said, you didn't even ask for that. They just said, well, this guy looks like he's like super cop, right? He loves police officers. He loves law enforcement.
True colors.
He likes Cadillacs, through. American flags, and,
yeah.
and what was the other one? Motorcycle?
Harley Davidson.
Right? Anyway. But it's like you just sort of had that naturally because that's how you lived your life. I mean, you cannot fake experience. You cannot fake it. And if whoever did this at the barbecue or anywhere else, like that, you can go try to fix that crap, but you can't. It's done. Because you are who you are. A buddy of mine always said this. You sort of are what you do, right? I remember I talked to a shrink before. I was like, well, how do you know who you are? And he says, well, who do you want to be? You know, it's like, just do that. Do the right thing, and you'll be fine. And you have sort of landed on your feet. Everybody, now you use it as, you still got the story. You got everything else. And you're sort of vindicated, right? You're like, this is why I left.
That's why I left.
Yeah. It's like, you saw it coming. And some, maybe not like this, but you saw it coming. I mean, he just saw it coming. And, you know, it is remarkable to see that thing blow up like that on social media, how it happened, why it happened, and when it happened. And at the same time, there you are in Westerville running a business that everybody likes and respects. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, wow, what a story. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to create the Blinsky Chronicles. And you're going to come back. You're gonna be back here because there's a lot more to talk about. I mean, we've sort of
we
seeded
did an
it
intro.
A little bit.
We know who
boy,
he is
we
now.
Gave a little of an intro, yeah.
Now we've got we did you know who we got to talk? We got to talk about Shorty. Shorty's your wife.
Shorty's my wife. She's awesome.
And they call her Shorty because she's like 6 foot tall.
People like me, but they love her.
Right. Yeah. And let me tell you, folks, she is as sweet as
sweetest
as,
woman
as,
you, me.
As you're gonna get. Yeah. I mean, she is. Yeah. She gave us decorations for my wedding. She and your mom are making pies for my wedding, and they were doing all this. It's like really, really great people. So there's more to come, and some of the stories.
Well, that's what we got. We had to introduce you.
I've got some good ones. I got some bad ones.
That's
It's like which of me do you want to talk to? Because there was a while where I had two lives.
Yeah.
Well, we'll I lived. I had. A, I had. I had a side life. I had. I had one life that was shown, and then I had one that happened when the sun set.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it too. When the sun was coming up today, it's like. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna draw the curtain on some of that stuff. I think it'd be up to you. But.
Yeah.
All right. So here we are. Lawyer talk.
Early morning edition.
Early morning edition. Of course, they all are anymore. Early morning edition. Lawyer talk off the air, but on the record with Jared Blinsky until now. Anyway.